Harper Audio presents Delicacy by David Fuenquinos. Translated from the French by Bruce Benderson. Performed by Nicole Poole. I don't know how to make peace with things. Were each moment to tear itself away from time to give me a kiss. Choran. 1. Natalie was rather private, a kind of Swiss femininity. She'd gone through adolescence without trauma, and she respected crosswalks. At 20, she saw the future as a promise. She liked to laugh, read, two pastimes that weren't often simultaneous because she preferred sad stories. Since a literary bent wasn't concrete enough for her taste, she decided to study economics. Under her dreamer's demeanor, there wasn't much room for kind ofs. With a strange smile on her face, she spent hours studying curves that showed fluctuations in Estonia's gross domestic product. When adulthood approached, she occasionally happened to go back in her mind to her childhood. Instants of happiness condensed into a few episodes, always the same ones. Running on the beach, boarding an airplane, sleeping in her father's arms. But she never, ever felt nostalgia. That was something that was quite rare for Natalie. There's often a clear tendency for nostalgia in Natalie's. 2. Most couples love to tell each other their stories and assume their meeting had something exceptional about it. Countless pairings formed under the most banal conditions are, all the same, spiced up with details that produce a minor thrill. In the end, they try to analyze everything. Natalie and Francois met on the street. It's always a tricky thing when a man comes up to a woman. She's bound to wonder, is that what he spends his time doing? Quite often, the men are going to claim that it's the first time. To listen to them, they are suddenly struck by a unique charm that gives them permission to brave their customary shyness. The women automatically answer that they don't have the time. Natalie wasn't breaking that rule. It was idiotic. She didn't have much to do, and liked the idea of being approached like that. No one had ever dared. Several times she'd asked herself, "Do I seem too sullen? Too lethargic?" One of her friends had told her, "Nobody ever stops you because you have the look of a woman hounded by passing time." When a man comes up to a woman he doesn't know, he's supposed to say lovely things. Could there ever be a male kamikaze who'd stop a woman and fling at her, "How can you be wearing those shoes? Your toes look like they're in a gulag. It's shameful. You're Stalin when it comes to your feet." Who would say such a thing? Certainly not Francois, who'd wisely settled on the complimentary approach. He tried to define the least definable thing that exists: confusion. Why had he stopped her? It had mostly to do with the way she walked. He'd sensed something new, almost childlike, like a rhapsody of kneecaps. She emanated a kind of touchingly natural manner, a grace of movement, and he thought, "She's exactly the kind of woman I'd like to go with me to Geneva for the weekend." So he took himself firmly in hand. Both hands, though at that moment he wished he had four. Especially because this really was the first time for him. Right then and right there, on this sidewalk, they were meeting. An absolutely classical beginning. Which is often how things that end up less so start.